Friends, like many of you and no doubt many other Australians, I've been watching with interest the race toward the White House in the US. The race between Trump and Harris looks like being a close one. Hmm? Some commentators have Harris in front, others have Trump in front. As well as his outsized ego, I reckon Trump has one distinct advantage. It's his campaign slogan, "Make America Great Again." And the key word of that slogan is the word great. It's such an attractive word, huh? Who doesn't want to be great? Trump wants to be great. He already thinks himself he's great. Most people want their nation to be great, and they want it to be regarded as great themselves. And perhaps you too would like to be great. And isn't that what the goal of life is? To go up the social ladder and get to the top, to get to be great. No, it isn't. I regularly watch an American Catholic bishop called Robert Barron preach his Sunday morning sermon on YouTube. And in a sermon Bishop Barron delivered a few weeks back, he repeatedly said, "Forget the stupid ladder. The ladder doesn't matter." But it's hard to forget the ladder. From the time we're small, it's ingrained in us that life is a race. It's a competition. And the goal is to go up the ladder. We're encouraged to work hard to get to the top in education, in sport, in business, in politics, in any arena of life. This is what we call success. But Jesus has a different view. Today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that true greatness is not about climbing the ladder. Now, this is the second time Jesus has said this to them. The first time, the disciples were arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest when Jesus became the king. On that occasion, Jesus took a little child and he put that little child in the midst of them and he said to them, "You want to know what real greatness is? It's welcoming a little bloke like this. It's humbling yourself to serve the littlest and the least among us." He could hardly have made it plainer, but it didn't sink in. And on this occasion, in the gospel that we read this morning, Jesus is responding to two of his closest disciples, James and John. They have come to him on the quiet and asked to be in key positions when Jesus becomes a great king. They want to rule along with him. They want to be on his right and on his left. They want to be his principal deputies. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus says to them. And that becomes clear if you read the gospel story right through to the end. At the end of the gospel story, who gets to be on Jesus' right hand and left hand when he's wearing a crown and he has a sign above him, "The King of the Jews"? It's two crucified criminals, huh? Two criminals who were crucified along with Jesus. That is not what James and John have in mind. When Jesus asked them, "Can you drink the cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I'm about to be baptized with?" They display their complete ignorance of what Jesus is talking about. And they say, "Sure, no worries, we can." Here, let me point out something to you about Mark's gospel that you might miss if you just listen to the gospel for each Sunday. Jesus tells his disciples three times that he's going to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise again. In chapter 8, again in chapter 9, and then in chapter 10. Now, before the first prediction that Jesus gives him, he heals a blind man. And after the third prediction, he heals another blind man. Jesus gives blind men their sight, but he can't get his disciples to see what it means for him to be the Messiah. Even though he tells them clearly that being the Messiah means that he will suffer and die and rise again, they don't get it. They are blind to what he's telling them. They are blind to what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. They are blind to their own limitations. Yes, we can, they say. And they're blind to the needs of others because they're so full of thinking about the high positions they're going to get. And it's not just them. Mark tells us that when the other disciples hear about this sneaky request that they've given to Jesus, they're really upset, really angry about it. Why? Because they have the same ambition. They too want to be great. And I think if you and I are honest, we would admit that we're not much different. At some time in life, we all dream of getting to the top of our chosen field. And many of us work really hard to be great. You could say that we humans are addicted to wanting to be great. And I really love the way Jesus shows patience with these dim-witted disciples of his. He says to them something like this: look, you're thinking about greatness in the normal way. You think it's all about being in charge, all about being over others, having high positions and powerful positions. But I'm giving you a new and different way to be great. In my kingdom, greatness is not about being above others and having them serve you. In my kingdom, greatness is being about a servant of others, even being a slave of others, and serving them with your life, and even serving to the extent that you're willing to suffer and die. You see, that is what I have come to do. I have come to serve you and all people. I have come to free you from your addiction to power and high position, and I have come to give you the power of love. And on the cross, the Son of God served you and me by suffering and dying. There he took our guilt upon himself. There he paid our debt. And by raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father declared Jesus to be the greatest person in all history. And as we heard in the second reading, the Apostle Paul put it beautifully. And let's just read a little bit of that again. Read it together with me. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, James and John and all the other disciples except Jesus did eventually become great at serving, yes, but it was only after Jesus had risen from the dead and sent to them his Spirit. And God's Spirit gave them the ability to see and understand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. And God's Spirit enabled them to follow Jesus and lay down their lives in humble and obedient service. Now, down the ages, some Christians have served so well that the church has recognized them as saints, not with a little s, like you and I are all saints through Jesus Christ, but as saints with a capital S, as outstanding Christian servants. And last Sunday, you may have noticed in the bulletin a film being advertised or shown in Gawler. It was about the life of a Catholic priest called Father Joseph Damien. In 1863, Father Damien volunteered to go and live among people who were suffering leprosy on the island of Molokai, which is in the Hawaiian Islands. And there he lived. There the patients were living, lonely, miserable existence, filth and poverty, without a church, without family, without friends. And so for 16 years, Father Damien lived among them, building churches and chapels for them, giving them a clean water supply, improving their homes and their hospital, constructing an orphanage, training a choir, and serving as their teacher, priest, and friend. One Sunday morning, he stood up as usual in front of his congregation, and he shocked them by beginning his sermon by saying, "We lepers." You see, Father Damien had contracted leprosy too. And he died 4 years later. In 2009, Pope Benedict declared him to be a saint with a capital S, a great servant of Christ. So true greatness is following Jesus on the way of humble service to God and others. And you, many of you, have probably experienced the truth of this. Think about your life. What is it that makes you happier? It's not getting more stuff for yourself. Happiness comes to us when we give ourselves in service to others. Then when we experience joy, then we are rewarded. And not just by having other people thank us, we are rewarded with a sense of fulfillment. We know in our hearts that this is good, this is right, this is the way life should be. I've been blessed by doing this. I have been enriched by serving others. Jesus' service to us frees and empowers us to serve others. Today, Jesus is here to serve you once again. So, he's here to bless you with his word, put his life and love within you through his body and blood. So, receive his service to you, and then go in his love and his power and serve those around you. Blessed are you when you hear the word of God and put it into practice. Amen.